Welcome to Queensway Pentecostal Church, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed and inspired by today's message. All right, so if you were wondering if we live in a society that operates out of a deficit, specifically based in fear, this week has proven that there are some scared people out there. Should we be careful these days? Yes, of course be careful. Should we be fearful? No, we should not be fearful. Should we sit back and wait? I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, but some people would say things like, we should sit back and wait for the Lord to come in the clouds. I don't need to worry. Well, the truth is, ultimately, I agree with you that we don't need to worry. However, we're not to just sit back and chill. There's people that need to hear about the gospel. Is Jesus coming back? Yes, absolutely, he's coming back. For sure, that's his promise to us. We know he is coming, but we should never give up the fight to see people without God come to God, right? We need people to hear of the Lord Jesus and accept him into their hearts. So that's our job right now. So in these days, like we're experiencing, there's an even greater need for hope. Don't you think there's even a greater need for hope these days? Has fear entered, here's a question I've asked myself, has fear entered my spirit these days? The truth is, yes, I have felt fear. Does fear guide my heart and my faith? No, it doesn't. Of course not. What does Scripture tell us about fear? Scripture tells us, I've had this song. It's actually an annoying song. You may like it, but I find it annoying. Not the words, just the tune, the whole image in my head. Anyways, but I've had this song in my head all this week. Fear is a liar. All right, it's okay if you like the song. Fear is a liar. 1 John 4, verse 16 to 18 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The truth is, I want to be perfected in love, don't you? In times like these, we must look to the Word of God for guidance. We have to look to His Word for guidance. It's so easy to be caught up in the winds of the world. Even taking time and seeking God for wisdom, doubt can enter our spirit as we try to use wisdom and not resort to foolishness. You see, our world needs a good dose of the Spirit of God within their lives. Don't you think so? All right, thank you for one person for agreeing with me. You see, our world needs a good dose of the Spirit of God. If you are frustrated with what you are seeing with the extremes of the past few days, I encourage you to do something about it. I came across this scripture this week. It says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." John 14, verse 27. You see, peace is given for us. Receive peace today would be the word of the Lord. You see, the peace of this world is not the same as the peace that comes from the Lord. Whoever turned my mic down, can you turn it back up? I feel like I'm yelling. Thank you. I won't yell into the microphone, I promise. The peace of this world is not the same as the peace that comes from the Lord. Peace from God removes trouble from our spirit. I would encourage us to dwell on the word of the Lord until the peace of the Lord fills us. I've needed to do that. I've needed to rest in the peace of the word of the Lord, the peace of Scripture in these days. Another pastor shared this scripture earlier this week. I thought I'd share it with you. It says this from Joshua chapter 6, verses 22 to 24. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God." So Gideon is looking at an angel. "Alas, O Lord God," says the angel, "for now I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face," said Gideon, excuse me. But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." Remember that. The Lord says, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." These are promises God makes to his people. You see, he is the Lord of peace. He is the God of peace. The God of peace has come to deliver us from any fear of death. I heard someone this week tell me they aren't afraid to die. I'm with you. Of course we're not. Ultimately, we know where our eternity lies. My prayer and encouragement is that peace would fill our houses in these days, that the spirit of peace would overflow from us. When we're commenting on people's posts online, or we're talking to each other on the phone, or we're sending a text message or email or whatever we're doing, having an actual real-life conversation, if we're that crazy in person, the truth is that peace is what should come out of us, from our lips. People in a lost and broken world are looking for us for leadership. Did you know that? That people in this world are looking for you and for me for leadership. They're looking for people with faith to fill them with confidence. Arlene dragged me to the grocery store on Friday against my wishes. Actually, no, it's not true. I often go to the grocery store on Fridays, picking up a few things for the weekend. And I was amazed. There was certain shelves that you know about were empty, and there was all sorts of craziness. There was like, I don't know, 20 times more people in the grocery store on Friday afternoon than there usually is. There's usually no one there, to be honest with you. It's just friends and family. But the truth is, we need peace. We need peace in our land. You see, we must pray that the spirit of peace would overflow from us in these days. The last few weeks, we've been in the midst of a series. This is the amazing thing that happens in our lives sometimes. We get thrown curveballs. A week ago, we were celebrating the men's breakfast, and the youth survived the night, and all was good. And here we are today, and it feels like that was 3 years ago. My goodness. But the truth is that I wanted to encourage you this morning, but I also, I don't know about you, but I find hope in normalcy a little bit from time to time. And so what I want to do today is I wanted to address what's been going on. Hopefully I've done that. But I also want us to look to the future. In our world, I feel like people are forcing us to think that there will be no future, even if no one's saying it. It's like, well, this person said this awful thing. What do you think about that? And the truth is that it's okay to look towards the future. It's okay to believe that we will be a part of the future, all right? And so the last few weeks, we've been in the midst of a series of messages that I've titled Vision Sunday. Today was the last part in that. Next week, we're believing that we're going to be able to jump into our Easter series together. But today, in the midst of some crazy circumstances, we're going to continue with our series. And Lord willing, we'll jump into our Easter one next week. I've been looking forward to our Easter series, in case you haven't noticed. So I'm hoping we can get to it. What I'm reminded of this week is that there has never been a greater need for us to be leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. There's never been a greater need. Today, there are churches that aren't able to physically gather together. I know of a lot of churches, my friends' churches and family and all sorts of places that aren't able to gather together physically. Some churches won't be able to physically gather together, and they also won't be able to use online resources to share their church services together. So they'll have no way of gathering together. And church, I found myself thinking about it this week in this way. The last few days has been a reminder that the church is not a building. That the church is not a building. It's God's people. And you see, as we gather in, no matter what form, we represent the church. This week, what was front of mind was that we need, especially in these days, to be journeying with people. We need to be walking alongside people. Through Jesus, we are the life and light of men. Did you know that? That you are the life and light of men, that you carry something within you that is so much greater than yourself. We carry a spirit that must be exhibited to those around us. So how do we carry this message in these days? How do we bring this all together? Well, let me encourage you to do something. Now, you have to do this wisely this week, but in the future, we can do it a little more normally. But the truth is, it is okay, and we should be walking with someone through life. We should be journeying with someone through life. Man, do we need help with this? You see, our world has tricked us to think that we pray, open our eyes, look around, and expect a result. Have you done this? You say a prayer, you open your eyes, and you expect God to drop that basket of treasure that you need to pay your bills. Oh, God, thank you. This is how it works. No, it's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. When you're praying for loved ones, here's what I would encourage you to do. When we're praying for loved ones and those we care deeply about, we must relentlessly pray. We must relentlessly pray. Secondly, we must relentlessly bless. I've learned that a lot of Christians in my life, I'm not going to name any names. I don't think any of them are sitting here today. No, we're good. The truth is we need to relentlessly bless. A lot of people do not like to bless. They like to say that they bless, but they don't actually bless anyone. And I've tried to go out of my way to bless people even in this last year. And you know what happens? People reject the blessing. They say, oh, no, I'm good. I'm like, I am trying to bless you. And, oh, no, don't worry about it. And, yes, sometimes it's because I'm in my pastor role. Oh, don't worry about it, pastor. I'm good. Or it's my family or it's my friends. Stop it. I am trying to bless you, all right? So we need to relentlessly bless those around us. I need to relentlessly bless people so much around me that I will make them cry of the blessing, all right? Because that's, I've got to break them. Anyways, that comes after the prayer. Okay. So we relentlessly pray, relentlessly bless, and finally, relentlessly love. We give up so easily. Well, pastor, I've been praying for my spouse or my kids for decades, and they're even worse than they were before. Keep on going. Don't stop. The enemy wants us to stop. He wants us to give up. He wants us to say, there's no hope. I can't do anything for that person. The truth is, if we relentlessly pray and we relentlessly bless and we relentlessly love, that God can do amazing things. I've told you this story before of a well-known author that I have no idea what his name is because I totally forget. Anyways, and he and his wife had a bad marriage at one point. He relentlessly prayed and relentlessly blessed and relentlessly loved his spouse, his wife. And what happened? They hated each other. They were the sort of people, they'd throw knives at each other at the dinner time because they hated each other so much. And he stopped throwing the knives and he started to care for her. He started to love on her, even when she didn't love him. And what happened? Her life turned around. Their marriage turned around. That's what happens when we relentlessly pray, we relentlessly bless, we relentlessly love. This is just but a list of things we can do to proclaim the word of the Lord to those who don't know him. Do you know that when you relentlessly pray and you relentlessly bless and you relentlessly love, that doesn't mean you're actually using any words? Think about it. There's this, now Glenn's not here today, it's okay, but he is my Christian metal rock buddy. He doesn't know it, all right, but he and I are the only people that love Christian metal rock. From the 80s, basically. It was awesome. There was Hairspray and tight pants and screaming, and it was all so awesome. I'm going to do it. Listen to it this afternoon. Watch out to my family. All right, it's coming in the basement. I'm going to turn it up loud. But the truth is, I remember this song, and it was all about, the words would say, all of God's children should be seen and not heard. I love it, right? When we relentlessly pray, they screamed it a lot louder than that. When we relentlessly pray and relentlessly bless and relentlessly love, we are doing God's hands, we are being God's hands and feet and doing what he's called us to do. When it comes to leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, I want us to first think about giving our time and giving our energy. We need to be relentless with those around us. Some of you think when I talk about time and energy, you think, pastor, you're asking for more time, for more effort? I'm tired. I've got nothing left. The truth is, absolutely I am. And let me make it real simple and tug at your heartstrings here. I am asking for more because someone's life depends on it. Somebody's life depends on it. Maybe it's a loved one of yours or your neighbor or your friend or a coworker. Or maybe it's my friend, my neighbor, my coworker, not Pastor Katie, but maybe it's one of, well, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, that's sorry, I was bad. Okay, I shouldn't have done that. You're good. All right. Oh, man. So let's back up here. Let's look at three things that are really vital to us at Queensway. First off, reach, build, and raise. You see, these words, reach, build, and raise, are baked deep within me. They're baked deep within me. You see, the truth is, and I'm just as bad with this as anyone else, but we all want overnight success. I would love to wake up tomorrow and be a bodybuilder. I'd love it. I'd be like, yo, this is me now. I'd love it. Some of you would love to wake up 50 years younger than you are right now. Well, no, those people shouldn't be here today. Anyways, no, just joking. Okay. Oh, I'm being bad today so far. Okay. People aren't going to come next week, not because of the virus. It's just because of me. Okay. Oh, man. Okay, I'll stop it. We all want overnight success. We see this all the time to this day, whether it's a one-hit wonder in entertainment. I love one-hit wonders. You know what those are? One-hit wonder songs that just rise to the top, kind of like a virus. Oh, my gosh. They just rise to the top, and then they plummet down, and no one's heard of them again. I love one-hit wonders. Random winning streaks by unsuspecting sports teams are overnight success. If you're a sports fan like me, every once in a while there's a team that is expected to go nowhere, and they rattle off this awesome record of games. Depending on the sport, it can last different amounts of times. At our core, many of us are impatient. We're impatient. I read recently this, and I want you to really focus in on it. If you could throw it up on the screen, that'd be great. God whispers because his priority is intimacy, not entertainment. Learn to listen, long to hear his voice, thirst for his presence. Because this is what Jesus calls us. I have called you friends. And that's what he says of us. I'll read it again. God whispers because his priority is intimacy, not entertainment. Learn to listen, long to hear his voice, thirst for his presence. I have called you friends. That's what he says about us. We're his friends. How many of us, man, I was doing this recently, screaming at God for no reason. He can hear us. All right, he can hear you. He can hear me. He's called us friends. Scripture always asks us for a deeper pursuit of the Spirit of God in our lives. I can't explain why, but things seem to take a greater root within us as we pursue God. Hebrews 10 verse 24 to 25 says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, well done today, as is the habit of some. We'll give people a break on that one today, I think it's fair. Tomorrow, forget it. All right. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm going to read it and not put in my own opinion. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day the Lord is coming. So reach, build, raise. You see, it's for all of us. We're all a part of this mission and vision. We're all a part of these words and belief that we can move forward. Not one of us is excluded. Sorry, that's not a word. Not one of us is excluded from God's call. You can tell I haven't slept well recently. All right. You see, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, we are called to reach, build, and raise. We reach those around us. We reach those around us. Now, right now, yeah, don't physically reach so that you may get thrown in jail. But reach those around us. Love one another in good works. We can do that these days. What can we do to make a difference in the lives of those around us? So the first one is reach. The second one is build. Meeting together is vital. Just recently, I was reminded again at the beauty that comes from gathering together. Why else would we do this? Why else would we be here on a day like today? Why else would we be here? Church, I'm so humbled. Actually, I'm really humbled today, to be honest with you. I'm blessed. I'm so humbled as I look into the parking lot on Sundays of our church and can see people coming, setting aside time to be in God's house. It's vital. For those listening online today and this week, you are taking time to be a part of God's kingdom here in Espanola. But church, our good intentions can become religious if we're not careful. My prayer is that our gatherings would never resemble a ritual time, a religious time. I believe we're here to make a difference. I read this great reminder recently. I hope it sinks deep into your heart. It says this: religious people find God useful. Growing Christians find God beautiful. Religious people find God useful. Growing Christians find God beautiful. Do you find the Lord beautiful today? Meeting together is part of that growth. As I watch how people journey in their faith, I see a lot of good stuff. I also see that that those who choose to stay where they are spiritually. Have you ever met a statue? Sometimes there's flesh and bones. But the truth is, they're statues. Spiritually, they're statues. They're not going anywhere. I believe these people who are stuck spiritually, I'm referring to them as spiritual statues, often they're just using God. We're just using God when we're in that place. They often choose to break away in order not to grow spiritually. One of the most significant indicators as a pastor is when people just disappear for no reason. And they may have their reason for it, but let me tell you what the main reason is, and you can argue me until you're red in the face, but I've seen it too many times, is that when people just disappear, it's most often because they've been pushed spiritually and they don't want to move. And let me ask you this question, or make this statement rather, I'll say. Some of us, some of our friends would rather stay in the desert than enter the promised land of what God has called them to. Do you know that today? That some of our peers would rather stay in the desert like the nation of Israel than walk into the promised land? Now let me tell you something. If growing spiritually means that I can walk into the promised land, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk into the promised land and I'm going to grow spiritually, and I hope that you would too. You see, as we grow in faith, I'm reminded of my responsibility in your life. I can't be scared or intimidated to challenge God's people into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus. When I was first a youth pastor, there was all these people and they pretended to be gangsters and I called them my youth group. All right, they're actually really soft, and if you see them to this day, they're lovely people. But the truth is, when they were 15 years old and 14 years old, they pretended to be gangsters from who knows where. And I remember them staring me down, and I was scared sometimes. I was like, what's going to happen to me tonight? I could die. We met in the basement of a church. No one knew we were there. The subway went by. It was noisy. They could kill me and walk away, and it would be done. No one would find me for a whole day, probably. Even Arlene, she's like, he stays out late. She wouldn't even care. The truth is that I was scared sometimes. But what I learned was to not be intimidated, to challenge people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the faith journey is us walking hand in hand with the Father as we grow with one another. At our business meeting last week, we talked about a physical building, bricks and mortar, so to speak. Absolutely, it's necessary. But remember, that physical building is useless without spiritual growth. It's useless. The physical building is useless without spiritual growth. We need to build each other spiritually. Our third one is this: raise. Ephesians 4, verse 12 says this: to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. When we talk about equipping the saints, what I try to accomplish every week, what Pastor Katie tries to accomplish every week, I believe that we can achieve greatness when we work together. You see, we have come a long ways, but we still have a long ways to go. That's how I see things with our church. You see, no ministry at Queensway should be held on the shoulders of one person. Let me say it again. No ministry at Queensway should be held on the shoulders of one person. Well, Pastor Jay, you're the pastor. Who cares? Like, seriously. That doesn't mean that I just do everything and everyone else chills out for the next 50 years. Come on. Eventually, my back's going to break from carrying everyone. All right? That was a joke. It wasn't funny, apparently. You see, no ministry at Queensway should be held on the shoulders of one person. You see, I believe everyone in this room and watching online today, everyone who is a part of the church that assembles at Queensway in Espanola is called to ministry. Yes, it will look different for all of us. We're not all going to do the same thing. We can't all plow the snow in the parking lot. If we did, there'd be accidents. All right? We can't all do the same thing. So yes, it will look different for all of us. For one, it's the gift of hospitality. For another, it's singing a new song. For another, it's giving a word from the Lord. We all play a role. We all have a part in this journey. So my question is, who are we raising? What are we raising? Are we, in these days, I think of it particular, are we raising a spirit of doubt, fear, and anger? Or are we raising a spirit of love, hope, and faith? Or faith, hope, and love, if you're technical. I've said before that I don't mind grassy knoll theories. Raise your hand if you're a grassy knoll theorist every once in a while. No one? Just me? Okay, thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. We don't have it bad. But the truth is, every once in a while, I like to think about grassy knoll theories. I find them interesting. Is there really an Area 51? Well, there is. But is there a really, you know, like a real Area 51 with aliens and spaceships in it? Is there buried treasure underneath old buildings in New York City? Is it actually there? Are elections rigged? Are they actually rigged? Some of you are questioning my questions right now. All right. The trouble is for the believer, the trouble for me, is there is no grassy knoll theories when it comes to the Lord. There's none of that. Just the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's what the word of the Lord teaches us. That's what's from God. You see, Queensway, we believe in these timeless truths. I believe, I've shared these before, but I believe these are timeless truths, and I want you to bake them deep into your spirits today. The first one we're going to look at, well, I'll give you them all up front, and then I'll go through them one by one. First off is Bible. A timeless truth is the Word of God, the Bible. The secondly is missions. The third is spiritual family. Fourth, generosity. And fifth, development. Did you know that the Word of God is timeless? Did you know that? In fact, the Scripture is the definition of being timeless. Now, Gabby, I think there's a slide with people holding hamburgers. Am I right? Okay, put that on the screen for me. So apparently this was an ad campaign to the timeless, and I won't read that because I don't want to give them free advertising. But the truth is, a quick Google search, and I found this ad campaign for being timeless. You see, there are many of these, I'm sure, but I found this one. I thought it was funny, mainly because I enjoy these things. Anyways, don't tell my mom that because she doesn't think I eat like that. Okay, you see, I'm not talking about a piece of meat today. Actually, a piece of meat is not timeless, except if it's from that place. It may always stay the same if you've watched a certain I had to rethink that. Okay, so that one actually may be. Okay, but in general, food is not timeless. Right? Oh, man. Today we know that the Word of God is timeless. The Bible, the Scripture is the greatest leveler. Did you know that? The Scripture is the greatest leveler. It centers us, draws us together, puts us in our place, dissolves confusion and division, centers us on who we are and what we are becoming. I got in a fight with a family member one time, and they're arguing with me about Scripture, and I said, it is right in the Bible. And they were angry and foaming at the mouth and spitting at me in red and enraged. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to throw you off the balcony. But it was a crazy moment. But the truth was, I knew what the Word of God said. And it is timeless. It centers us on who we are and what we are becoming. That's the amazing thing about Scripture. I try to read at least a psalm and most often a proverb every day. I try. I don't succeed every day, I'll be honest, but I do my best. And the truth is, I was reading the Scriptures last night before bed. I don't often get like this, but I needed to read the Bible last night. I was like, God, I don't want any more words from any crazy people coming into my brain. I only want the Scripture. All right, I was done. Okay? And the truth is I was reading Scriptures that I've read, I don't know how many times. I couldn't put a number on it. And the truth was, God was revealing things to me because of what the Word of the Lord says. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Did you know that the only thing that will complete you in life is the Bible? That's the only thing that will complete you. Sometimes I feel like this Scripture that I just read to you comes under fire these days. We can be uncomfortable with this claim that everything in the Word of God comes from the God of heaven, the one who holds the world in his hands. These words are his. And when we accept that, our lives are freed from the bondage of fear and doubt and anxiety, double-mindedness. You see, the Scripture reminds us that we are complete because of the Scripture. We're equipped for the good work of God. So our first one is Bible. I'll go through these last ones will go a little quicker. Then we have mission. You see, we are on a mission. Did you know that? We are on a mission. However you look at missions, you are a part of it. Do you have someone when you look out your house that you can see? I know a couple people may not. Okay? Like just somebody, even if it's just the random person what walks through your neighborhood. It's like, do you have a home? They just walk by all the time. They are a person. Believe it. I know it's hard to believe. They are a person. Sometimes I see people walking on the side roads, and I know they're going somewhere, and I'm like, okay, I've been driving for 25 minutes and haven't seen anyone or anything. And there's some brother walking down the street. it's like, I'm on my way home. I'm like, my gosh. Oh, okay, that's just a side note. That scares me sometimes, if I'm being honest. Okay. A couple weeks ago, money for missions. We are a part of missions. Someday in the near future, I'd love for a team of people from this church to go to another part of the world, not to go to another part of Canada. I'm saying go to another part of the world. We got asked again recently for a missions team to come up here. And a part of me is like, yes, that's awesome. The other part of me is like, you haven't left anywhere. Anyways, it freaks me out a little bit. I'm like, what? Anyways, people are trying to be a blessing, so that's a good thing. All right. Someday in the near future, I'd love for a team of people from this church to go to another part of the world and be the hands and feet of Christ. I'm reminded from last week's message that we must go. Our third thought is this: spiritual family. We've spoken about family a little bit recently. All of us come from diverse families from different backgrounds. Family at its core is supposed to be amazing. Raise your hand if you have an amazing family. You wouldn't change them for anyone. Okay, there's a couple of you. You can't replace a great family. Did you know that? You can't replace a great family. Acts 2, verse 42. How can we resurrect the sermon? It should be done by now. All right. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. I'm glad we can laugh today. It's making me feel better. I appreciate it. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Feels like we may be close to this. Okay. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, being here for one another is a primary part of our mission and vision at Queensway. If we aren't there to support someone in their time of need, what are we doing? Like, seriously, what are we doing? If you know someone in need, tell me, because I think we should help them. All right, that would be the principle here. And if I seem clueless about something, come and tell me. It's okay. I get told it every day by someone this year. If we aren't there to support, I'm not looking at anyone, support someone in their time of need, what are we doing? I'd actually love the testimony of the church to be that we are of greater help to someone than their own family. Think about that. That the church would be of greater help to someone than their own family. In a good way, not because they have like crazy family. No, just in a good way. Just that we love that well. We serve that well. You see, we all go through times where we need our spiritual family. Today is one of those times for me. Did you know that? I need you guys too, believe it or not. I do. You can't just take from me all the time. I like hanging out with you too. You see, as we gather, as we move forward as a family, the scriptures tell us that signs and wonders accompany the family, the kind of family described in Acts chapter 2. In these days, just the last 72 hours, we can see that the family of God is needed. We can see that across our world. You're needed to make a difference in this world, in our region. Maybe this week it's as simple as giving someone a roll of toilet paper. Maybe that's how you can help someone this week, all right? I say that to make us laugh, but it could be true. We'll see how it goes. Generosity is also a sign of God's family, that we'd give everything we have to take care of someone in our family who's in need. Attendance. Here's something some people don't like to hear. Daily the gathering to the temple and breaking bread with one another at home or in the temple, so to speak, is a part of God's family. That's part of what God's family does together. The gathering, what we're doing right here, the gathering. Praise is a part of God's family. Whatever it takes for you, we must get into a place where praise is a part of our everyday life. Favor. I believe that we are on the cusp of seeing favor in a way not seen before. I believe that businesses associated with our church will be blessed. That we will receive favor that only God can give. Generosity. Because of favor, we can be extra generous. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7 says this: remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind that you will get what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. That's a modern translation of 2 Corinthians, by the way. Folks, you know that we have to be generous this year. We're stepping up. I know that I need to be the first to step up financially. When I think of our building project, I think of 20 families coming forward with $1,000 offerings. Or maybe 40 families coming forward with $500 offerings. Divide it however you want. It doesn't matter to me. Yes, I know that some of these numbers may be significant for us. But what I know is that money follows vision. Money follows vision. If we have no vision, we will perish. But you see, people in our church have already stepped up financially for our building project this year. Remember I said just a few weeks ago, I planted the seed, I will send the rain. That's what the Lord declares to us. That's his word over our lives. So let me review. I'm skipping ahead here a bit. Actually, let me make one more statement. I felt God speaking to me this last little while, and I'll just review. Queensway, as a church, isn't going into the sunset. It's waking up for the sunrise. Think about that. Our church is not going into the sunset. The sunset's actually on that side of our building. We're not going into the sunset. We're waking up for the sunrise. You see, there's a new day dawning, and it's time to sing our songs again. I feel like I could go on and on today. I won't. But please catch my heart with what I've said, my vision. You see, we must lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We must reach, build, and raise the folks, the people in this region. We must cherish the Bible, missions, spiritual family, generosity, and development. You see, this is who we are. This is who we are becoming. And this will push us into the future. Now, we're not supposed to touch each other, so that's fine. But would you stand together and let's pray? Hopefully you don't need to touch each other to stand. If you do, we can help you later on.
I'll get my gloves out.
Let's pray. So God, we thank you for today. Lord, I know there is craziness. There are people that are angry when they drive by our church today seeing cars here. And Lord, I just pray for them that you'd soften their hearts and minister to them today. And God, I believe that us assembling together is important. There is a vital aspect to what we're doing. So God, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you'd minister to us, that you'd strengthen us, that you would do something amazing in our lives and through our lives. Lord, I pray for those that were not able to come today for one reason or another. I pray that fear would be removed from our lives, removed from our minds, and that your heart would come through, your heart of faith and love and hope and victory would begin to bear fruit in our lives. And God, it's not about putting your head in the sand. It's not about ignoring the facts. But it's believing that God is going to change our circumstances. It's believing that you, O Lord, will change what's come. Lord, we think of these days, this virus is not from you, it's from the enemy. For anyone that would confuse that, Lord, I pray that you'd give them wisdom. And God, you don't send things to seek, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil does. So God, I pray right now that you would minister to those that are in need. Lord, I think of those in our own community that have self-quarantined or in a care in some way because of the virus, the coronavirus. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, that you'd deliver them from what's happening in their bodies right now. And God, that your hand of protection would be upon all of us. Lord, as we go around, that we'd be a blessing to those around us. And Father, that you'd continue to minister and strengthen us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at qpcespanola.com.